power. There it is. Power. Got to have power. Somebody, one of these ladies was asking me last week, Sunday, how old I was because I put my pennies in the plate for the birthday Sunday morning in Sunday school. And thank God I turned 61. I don't look it, do I? Don't look a day over 85, do I? Turned 61 years old, praise God. You know what that means? Let me tell you what it means to me. In 6 months, January the 17th, I can apply for Social Security. So if the Democrats don't mess that up between now and then, I'm going to sign up. Whether I collect up or not, I don't know, but I'm going to sign up. And then, brother, I asked Brother Wiebe a little while ago if he was ready for school, and he said yes. And I know we start back on August 8th here. Well, my wife went back this week, and the school didn't start, but they went back to do something. And she worked 4 days this week. That's why she's not here tonight. I try to wake her up. She's dead to the world. So I know all of y'all got to be excited about going back to school, right? It's mentally draining. And kind of like being up here sometimes, it's mentally draining. I was standing over there a few moments ago, and Brother Pitts, he's such a nice guy. Y'all know Dr. Pitts, right? Anybody don't know him, stand up, you know? Brother Pitts is such a nice guy. He was reminding me of a while back, a few years back now, how one night I was told everybody I was going to be, just wanted to be encouraging to them. And he said, I just kept saying that over and over. So he wanted to remind me of that, see? Well, he didn't know it, but I have that same message with me tonight. Because I want to be encouraging to him tonight, amen? But what he didn't know is I ended up in the hospital that night. He knew that later on. But when I have arrhythmia, some of you know what that is, and also diabetic. And sometimes one medication will mess with the other medication. And when your heart's pumping, like mine would run like 220 beats a minute. That's fast. So the doctors told me, he said, don't worry about dying with a heart attack. He said, because you'd have been dead, your heart would have exploded a long time ago if you had a bad heart. But when your heart's pumping that fast, you can't think. Things just disappear. Things that would normally seem simple to you are now, it's a battle to do anything. So when you're trying to teach or preach something in your mind, you just can't think. Nothing happens. And then you're taking diabetic medication to go with that. It just helps you out greatly. You know what I mean? It's really good for you. So what I want to talk about tonight, I have no idea now. Y'all got me off track. See, I was going through Facebook. Y'all got that Facebook thing on your phone? Every once in a while I get on there because I'm curious to see what these Democrats has got going, and they were talking about, I don't know, some bill they passed. I know it's got something to do with homosexuals or transgender or whatever it is, but it just makes your blood boil when you get to reading through that. And then below that, they had a priest, of all people. A priest came on there, and he wrote a big article. I don't remember his name, don't want to, don't care what it is. It's just disgusting. But he wrote an article, and he was saying how Sodom and Gomorrah was not a sin of homosexuality, that it was a sin of richness because the city, the people were so rich. And that was the sin that was bestowed upon him, and that's the reason it was destroyed, not because of the Sodomites. And that we as Christians are using the word sodomite incorrectly. You know, it doesn't mean what we claim it to mean. And it just really, boy, I get flabbergasted when I'm reading that stuff. I'm like, how can he write these things and then call herself a priest or call himself a Christian or in any way? And what they're doing, you know, it doesn't affect my life, say. And thank God, everybody in here, thank God that you've been pastored by a man like Dr. Carter, that has stood here for all these years and stood on the values and the principles that God has given us in his word, right or wrong, no matter what the world thinks, he had stood true to what his Bible says. And that's why I know the difference. I know what a sodomite is. You know, I know what this homosexual agenda, I know it's of the devil. And in any way you look at it, it's of the devil. But and what I want to talk a little bit about this week is how do we approach people that are gay? And this question had been asked to me several times in the last couple of weeks. You know, we don't like it, but there's a lot of people in our families that are gay. I mean, you know, it's becoming more and more prevalent all the time. And you ask yourself, why is that? You know, sin just runs rampant. And folks, as the church weakens and as we give in to the sodomites, they're going to grow. You know, it's the sin nature of man is to sin. I mean, it's a natural thing for man. So if we don't take a stand and we're not teaching the things that we ought to be teaching and standing on biblical principles, then it's going to continue to grow and wax worse and worse. The Bible tells us that in Scripture. It's going to continue to get worse. And then I was also talking to somebody else, and they were talking. Every time you're speaking about Landmark, one of the first things that comes up is breeches. You know, you're that church that don't think women should wear breeches. Yep, that's us. That's this church. And so everything in our life, and don't get mad at me because I didn't. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. I did not write this book. You know that. I don't have enough education to barely read it, let alone write it. And I believe it's chapter, I said chapter 5. I believe it's chapter 22. I think we're looking for verse 5. I think that's the way it is. 22 and verse 5. It says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God." Now, the question is, do you believe what the Bible says? It's just that simple. Either you believe what the book says or you don't believe what the book says. The book says it's an abomination. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what it says. Now, I'm going to tell you the same thing I told this other fellow. You believe whatever you choose to. I'm going to believe the book. I'm just going to stick by the book. Now, if you choose not to, that's between you and God. It's none of my business. I was in Winn-Dixie one time shopping, and a lady come up to me from our church years ago and asked me if I had seen Sister So-and-so around the corner. And I said, "Well, no." And she said, "Well, she's wearing shorts, not breeches, but shorts." I'm like, "Okay, so? Well, what do you think?" I said, "I think it's none of my business. That's what I think. It's none of my business. That's between her and God." So what I'm saying to you is, if you want to put your britches on, that's between you and God. Okay? But I'm going to believe the book, and I'm going to go with what the book says. And I told this young man, I said, "Look, all of this matters. This is what it all boils down to. How much you love God. Do you love God enough to give God the benefit of the doubt and just say, 'Look, you know, the book says the women aren't supposed to wear that. My wife's not wearing breeches.' Done deal. It's just that simple. Either you believe it or you don't. So that's up to you. But I'm just saying, that's the same thing the world is doing with the sodomites. They're doing the same thing. They're acting like, but it's just a little thing. It's just a little sin. It's no big deal." Well, let me ask you this. How many little sins do you think there are to God? Do you think there's any little sins? I mean, we know from preaching that we've heard in here for years and years, and we've seen the Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed by God. So we know that judgment falls differently according to the sin, but sin is still sin. And we're not supposed to be want to be involved in any of it in any way. So it's important that we learn and make decisions as how much do we love God? Well, I made up my mind about 14 years ago that I love God enough that I was going to serve my God to the best of my ability. I'm going to do all that I can do as an individual to serve my God according to his book. Because if I'm serving God in accordance to what I think, not what he says, then I'm not serving God. That's idolatry. That's God made in the image of man. I'm not interested in that. I was 47 years old when I went into the ministry. And I made up my mind then that if I'm going to serve God, he's called me to preach. And if I'm going to preach, I'm going to preach it like it is. I don't care who it offends. I don't care how angry anybody gets. If anybody wants to throw rocks at me, I don't care. Throw them. Have at it. I'm not going to remember it tomorrow anyways. Thank God. I'm 61 years old now. I got some timers. So anyway, I'm going to forget most of it anyhow. But folks, I'm going to take a stand for that which is right. And if our church doesn't do that, and the churches across America, if we don't take a stand for the things that are right, we're going to lose our churches little by little by little. I think Jesus said something like, would there be any faith when he comes back? Would there be any faith? Folks, we're slowly, slowly slipping by the wayside. Now, what I want to tell you a little bit about tonight, how do we approach a gay person? Now, I'm going to give you a couple of examples of things that happened in my lifetime right here at Landmark. And then we can take some of those examples and apply them to what God says, and we can see how we can approach a gay individual and be successful with it. Because I don't know about you, but I mean, to me, it's an offensive sin. You know, it's very hard. It's hard to deal with. So, but we have to deal with it because God tells us we're to love everyone. And we're to take the gospel to everybody. Amen. So, we was out soul winning. It was my first year here in college. So, that's been a long time ago. I think it's been like 14 years ago, 13 or 14 years ago. It was my first year here. And there was three of us on a team, three men. And, of course, I was the oldest one in the bunch. And I felt like daddy to them, you know. So we're out knocking doors. And it was one of my partner's turn. I can't remember their names. I can see their faces, but I can't remember their names. I struggle to keep up with mine. But he knocked on the door, and this man comes to the door and answers the door politely. And he starts to tell him who we were and where we was from. He said, y'all can just leave. And he kind of shocked, you know. And, of course, you get that a lot when you're out knocking doors. So we all turned to walk off. Well, the man had a beautiful boat sitting in the driveway. So rather than just leave, I stopped and looked at the boat, and I asked the gentleman, I said, man, what kind of boat is this? And instantly, his guard went down. All of a sudden, all of him being on the defensive, you could just see everything changed. And he come outside the door, and he started to talk, telling me all about his boat. He was so proud of that boat. But in the meantime, while he was doing all this, he had forgot all about why we were there. So now he's become a normal human. Isn't that something? So he spoke to us for a few minutes. And deliberately, I didn't try to hand him a tract. I didn't say anything about the church. I didn't mention any of that. We just talked about the boat. Well, a few minutes passes by, and I see the young ladies across the street walking on up the street. And I told the gentleman, I said, look, I said, we got to go. I said, it's been really nice talking with you. And I just turned off, started walking. He said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. He said, what church are y'all from? See how things changed? Just because we got that guard down. So rather than trying to push on him what we were giving Jesus, I just withdrew it from him. And curiosity got the best of him. I turned around and I handed him a tract from the church. We was in South Florida. And gave him all the information. And he gave me his phone number and name and asked me, he said, would you give this to your pastor and ask him to come by and visit with us? And I said, I most certainly will. But see, folks, we could have been upset about him asking us to leave and just walked off. But when we do that, we're in the flesh. See, so many times we forget what our purpose is and why we were knocking on the door. See, it wasn't about me. It wasn't about my partners. It was about a man going to hell that needed Jesus. And while we were there, it's not for us to be in contention with them. It's not for us to prove that we were right and they were wrong. It's not about that. It's about getting them to accept the gospel. And it doesn't matter how we do it, just getting them to accept the gospel. So before we left there, that man had the gospel tract in his hand and asked us to send the pastor to his house. That was a tremendous blessing. The same year, it was probably the next day, my partner, we run across a younger gentleman that was, he was by himself, and we try to speak with him and come to find out he was a Jehovah's Witness. Well, Jehovah's Witness don't believe anything like we believe. So if you have anything Christian, they're not interested in it. So my partner, rather than, well, as soon as he found out he was a Jehovah's Witness, he immediately stopped trying to push the gospel on him. And this is what he did. He said, well, do you have any literature on you? And the young man said, well, no, I don't. He said, man, he said, can you tell me a little bit about what you believe? I'm kind of curious. And the young man's guard went down, and he started talking to him. And then a few minutes later, he reaches in his pocket, and my partner there pulled out a tract and handed him a tract. And he said, would you like me to explain it to you? And the young man said, well, sure. He sat right there and led that young man to Christ. It was pretty simple. And then shortly, next day, we was all walking, and it was about midday. We'd been knocking doors all morning, and it was just before lunch. It might have been just after lunch. And we were knocking doors, and we were coming down the street, and there was four gentlemen sitting on a porch. They weren't drinking or anything, but they was older gentlemen, but probably, you know, real old people, like 50 years old. They were sitting out there talking, and I told the guys, I said, come on. Now, you know, it's hard when they're having a conversation, they're having their little party time or whatever it is that they're having. It's kind of hard to get in and soul win because they just don't want you there. I told the guys, I said, come on. So we walked up and I just invited myself to have a seat. There was two chairs there. One of my partners grabbed a seat and I grabbed a seat. And the other one had to stand there. And one of the gentlemen says, I'll get another chair. I said, he's young. Let him stand. I said, I just needed a break. I said, I'm getting old and walking up and down these streets is hot. He said, oh, no, have a seat. Sit down and stay as long as you'd like. So we just talked. And, of course, none of us had a Bible in our hand. We had them in our pockets. So he didn't know who we were. But I guess he figured in that neighborhood, dressed the way that we wore, the curiosity got the best of him. And I talked to him there for a few moments. And finally the man asked me, he said, well, what are y'all doing? I said, well, right now I'm just resting, just trying to get my breath. And he kind of chuckled, laughed a little bit. He said, well, I understand that. He said, I mean, what are y'all doing? You know, walking up and down the streets. I said, just that. We're walking up and down the streets. And he said, no, y'all have a purpose. I said, oh, that. I said, here, I'll show you. And I pulled my Bible out and led all four of those older men to Christ. See, sometimes if we'll just get self out of the way, let God move in and let God do the dealing, things will go well. And folks, that's kind of the same way that we have to deal with homosexuals. See, our biggest problem is that it's offensive to us. So we put a guard up. But that's not what God tells us to do. So in light of all that, we need to look at ourselves. So turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. You know where I'm going with this already, I'm sure. Revelation 21 and verse 8. 21 and verse 8. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all what? Liars shall have their part, which burneth in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All liars. That's, we all know what abominable is, and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers. We all, everybody here in this room here knows what that is. So the part I'm really interested in is the liars. All liars. And the reason that interests me the most is because everybody in this room fits into that category. Everybody. Every single one of us. So none of us will escape. Now I want to read. So in other words, when we read that, we understand the fact that according to what God is saying, everyone here, all of us, deserve hell. Right. I think we all agree on that. Amen? Is that right? Amen. We all agree on that. So what does Romans chapter 3 and verse 4 tell us? I'll read the verse to you. Or I'll read part of it to you. How's that? Let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written. And then if we look at James chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Amen. Now, unless I'm misunderstanding, when it says all, it means all of the law. Right. Am I right? It means all the law. Now, when we think about the law, naturally in our mind, the first thing that comes to our mind is the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments. And that's good. It's referring to the Ten Commandments, but it's referring to all of God's law. And there's a lot of things in God's laws and a lot of things in biblical terminology that we read about and we see that that's not written in the law for say, like, for example, it doesn't say thou shalt not smoke. I haven't found that in there yet. It may be, but if it is, I hadn't seen it. Okay? Does it say thou shalt not drink? Referring to alcoholic beverages. We're not supposed to consume alcohol, but it doesn't say thou shalt not drink. Or thou shalt not have, you know, drugs. Maybe it doesn't say thou shouldn't be gay. It talks about homosexuality, doesn't it? Folks, the point I'm trying to make is that if I'm guilty of all of it, and the things that's not in here, like smoking, is covered under 1 Peter 1:16. It says, because I am holy, be ye holy. Yeah. So that covers all of it, no matter what it is. And if I'm guilty of all the sin because I've told one little lie, Am I not guilty as a whoremonger? Am I not guilty as a murderer? It said, if I've broken one, I've broken them all. Am I not just as guilty as a homosexual? Yes, sir. Yes, I am. See, that is what we as believers forget. See, we set ourselves up sometimes to be self-righteous. But let me tell you something. If it weren't for God's grace, the Lord Jesus that died on the cross that saved you and I from our sin, we'll be in the same place as that homosexual is going to be in hell. So rather than being all defensive about it and being ignorant about the situation, because this is what I hear all the time when you're talking about Christians and homosexuals. Homosexuals don't want to have anything to do with you because of your so-called faith. Because this is what they'll say, and this is what the devil does. This devil turns everything that God tries to do. If you try to witness to a homosexual, and if you're very aggressive and you're talking about hell, they're going to remind you that you're not perfect. They're going to tell you, why are you being hateful to me? Why are you being mean to me? Why do you holler names at us? All these things that you see Christians do on the news and on television, because they've had bad experiences. Because these people aren't using what God has given us. Right. We're not being thoughtful about the situation. See, we let self get in the way. See, it's not about me. When you try to witness to a homosexual, it's got nothing to do with me. It's got to do with that person that is in sin and is on their way to hell. So what do I have to do to witness to this person? That's everything that matters is right there. So the first thing I've got to do is get myself out of the way. Amen. I've got to allow God to come in. So what should I do about that person? I need to be friendly to that person. I can't speak to somebody that I don't befriend. I need to be friendly to that person. And rather than telling him that you're going to hell for your sin, because I am too, if it weren't for Jesus, right? Amen. Instead of doing that, I need to present to them Jesus. Maybe they don't want to hear Jesus because they've heard it from somebody else. Maybe I can take a little bit of my time and tell that person about my problems, my faults. Maybe I could take some time and go to Revelations 21:8 and not being mean to them, but showing them where I fell short. Showing them how I was wrong. And because I understood that, just like we go soul winning, the first thing we got to teach somebody is that they're lost and need to be saved. Amen. It's the same with a homosexual. And folks, we forget sometimes. Let me tell you something. I used to be addicted to cigarettes. I was addicted to them. And it's hard to quit smoking. It's even 10 times harder to stop drugs. It's the same. Well, how about the sin of homosexuality? It's an addiction. These people, you know, we want everybody to stop everything cold turkey. That would be nice if we lived in a perfect world. But if we lived in a perfect world, we wouldn't need that to be. But we need to get ourselves in a situation to where we've got self out of the way, and we need to be focusing on the soul of that individual. Not the person, but the soul. And what do we need to do? What can I do to come across to this individual that I can somehow get them to see and understand that they need Jesus? Because, folks, that's what God teaches us to do. That's what the Scriptures teaches us to do. But we can't ever get self out of the way long enough to do it. We're so quick. We go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. We're so quick to go back and start pointing fingers at everybody else. If we just remember where we came from. Amen. I'll tell you a story about how I quit smoking. And by the way, there's a lot of good preachers that used to smoke and quit. There's a lot of good preachers that was involved in drugs and got out of it and are now preaching the gospel. Now, what if we'd have treated them just the same way as we treat a homosexual? Shy away from them. Now, what I'm saying is I'm in no way am I promoting homosexuality. I'm against it 1,000%. All I'm saying is that we as Christians, it's our responsibility to take the gospel to the world. Amen. And Hang City is part of that world. And wherever our loved ones is, that's part of that world. I know too many people that have come to me and asked me, how can I reach this person? They're homosexual. And it's hard. Think about that. I'll tell you how things work in my household. Whatever I say, that's law. Done. That's the way it is. It's the way it's always been. And that's the way it's going to be till I die. And then mama take over. But that's the way it's always been. But it's not that easy when you've got somebody outside of the home that's a homosexual. And they're your loved ones. You know, you can't go in with that same approach. You have to be different. You've got to get yourself completely out of the way. You got to offer scriptures, and it's hard. How do you give somebody, especially when it's somebody that you love, and you know that if they die tomorrow, they're going to hell. If they're still living in that sin and they haven't given their life to Christ. And I've also heard people say, well, you know, they can't be living in that and get saved. I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a second. I'm going to show you. Turn over to John 3:16. That's right, I'll just read it to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life, except the homosexual. Is that what your Bible says? Mine either. What I'm saying to you is that if you accept the Lord Jesus, I don't care who you are, amen, you're saved. I got saved when I was 12 years old. It didn't stop me from smoking. Right. It should have, but it didn't because I wasn't taught better. Right. Now, my daddy used to tell me all the time, don't smoke while he was lighting one. Right. Son, you don't want to do this. It's bad for you. Yeah. You know, monkey see, monkey do. Now, I did finally quit, but God took him from me. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. If you're in here tonight and you have any addiction, I don't care what it is. If you'll give it to God, he'll take it. But you got to give it to him. You got to mean what you say. You got to ask God to take it from you, and he will take you. Amen. I was addicted to smoking, and I quit. I hate to even tell you when I quit. It was only 3 weeks ago. No, I'm just kidding. I quit right before I came to school here. You know, God was calling me to come to preach, and man, it was just burdensome to my heart, but it's hard. It's a drug, and it's hard to quit the habit. And I had quit one time before for about 5 years and started back, and the biggest habit I had was reaching in your pocket. You kept your cigarettes in your pocket, you know. So 5 years after I quit, I was still reaching that pocket. So this time when I quit, when I started back that last time, I never carried a pack of cigarettes in my pocket after that. So I got out of that habit. But I had asked God to take them. And I promised him I wouldn't smoke anymore if he would just take it away from me. Just take it. I don't want it. Get it away from me. I want to serve you. Well, I done pretty good for a pretty good while. And one night I was sitting on the front porch, about like tonight. It looked like it was going to rain, but it didn't. Cleared up, stars came out. It was hot and muggy. And my wife, women are wicked. My wife was still smoking. And, of course, she was trying to quit. She was trying. I'd give her that. But she had a pack of cigarettes, and she had them laying there on that little table outside on the porch. And I saw that pack of cigarettes. I said, you know, man, it's been a long time, but one little cigarette wouldn't hurt anything, you know. It's honest to God true. You can ask my neighbor. She was at home in bed, but she can tell you about it. I reached over and picked up that pack of cigarettes, and I pulled a cigarette out. And I had to hunt around. I found me a lighter. I didn't carry one with me then. I found a lighter. And I put that cigarette in my mouth. Just like that right there. I still remember how to do it. And I had that lighter, and I went to strike that lighter, and the biggest, boldest strike of lightning I had ever seen in my life hit right beside my porch. I turned as white as your shirt, my brother, and I did not light that cigarette. And to this day, I have not lit a cigarette. I had no more urge after that ever to smoke a cigarette. And you know, the good thing is I cannot even smell one. I can't. If you was to light a cigarette and stand right here and I don't see the smoke, I can't smell it. And God just took them away. And my wife quit shortly, like the next morning, because I got rid of everything that looked like a cigarette. I told her, ain't happening. Not in my house. It's done. It's gone. So she quit whether she wanted to or not. But the point is, if you give it to the Lord, he'll take it. My neighbor came up the next morning. She used to work for me. She came up the next morning, and she says, man, she said, it cleared up last night, and the skies, and the stars in the sky. She said, I just lay down to go to bed, and she said, the biggest lightning bolt I'd ever seen in my life. She said, my whole house lit up. I said, yep, I know where it was. Scared me stiff. Folks, God's serious. And I hadn't smoked since. But I had never forgot that. Now, what about people who have drug addictions? Now, see, the thing with it is, even though I was saved at 12, I was still smoking. Right. And I'll tell you what another preacher told me one time. Because I told him one time, I said, well, smoking is not going to send you to hell. I was saved. And I believed that with all my heart. I believed that I was saved, so I'm not going to hell. Smoking is no different than eating two pieces of chicken if you're full after the first one. You know that's a sin, right? Gluttony. Yeah. Right? Some of y'all got that problem. So I said, hey, I'm going to heaven. But this is what that preacher told me. He said, well, yeah, you're going to heaven, but you're going to smell like you just come from hell when you get there. So folks, but today I have this desire to serve God the way he wants me to serve him. And all I'm saying is, let's not forget where we came from. Amen. Let's not forget the ditch that God pulled us up out of, that because we was on our way to hell until we got the gospel. And it's the same way with these nuts in the White House. God forbid, I pray for them. Pray for Nancy Pelosi. It's hard. I know. You know, it don't matter how you pray. Lord, take them. Lord, take them. Right? You got, we need to pray for these folks. You know, when I look at this church and I think, thank God. Thank God that I found this place.
Amen.
Folks, there's so many people that's going to heaven because of the stand that this church takes. It gets the truth. Our young parents get the truth. They're being taught how to raise their families. Our children are getting the truth. That doesn't stop the world from seeking them. But for us to be better Christians and for us to live in a better environment, we have to accept the reality that the fact that there's homosexuals out here. I don't have to love the sin, but I'm supposed to love the person. And I need to lay aside all of my problems, and I need to address their issue and try everything that I can to get God's gospel into them. If it's nothing but leaving a track. Folks, we won't even know till we get to heaven how many people got saved off a track.
Amen.
We had a boy who went to college here that was a Jew that got saved because of a track. So, you know, just doing our job as Christians and being a better Christian. And folks, it's hard. It's hard when you try to live a Christian life. The devil is waiting on you at every street corner. Everything, every part of your day, the devil is after you. It doesn't matter if you're right here working. There's always that teacher over yonder. It's always got something that's going to bug you. You know what I'm saying? That person in the lunchroom. Or that preacher, or me. Somebody's going to have something that's going to stick in your craw. But let me tell you what you do. You die to it. You pick up what? Thy cross and follow me. Folks, we're supposed to be dead to sin. We're not supposed to let all those little things get in our way. And we got to stop listening to the way the world does things. We need to do things the way Christ has taught us to do things. And we need to go back and read these scriptures sometimes and remember, I'm just as guilty as that homosexual is because I've told a lie. So I've broken all of God's commandments. I don't know about you, but I don't feel good about that.
Amen.
I don't like that. But that's reality. So we need to think about that the next time we try to approach someone. Try to figure out what it is that you can do to approach this individual without being offensive to them. Sometimes maybe you got to eat a little crow. Oh, well, if that's what it takes. Because the important thing is that soul. That soul comes to know Christ. That's what matters. Nothing else is going to matter. If the trumpet sounds Monday morning, anything other than what we have in Jesus means nothing.
Amen.
Absolutely nothing. But too many times, folks, we just can't get self out of the way. Everything's about us all day. Everything that we do, us, me. But we got to get me out of here and get Jesus in here and do the things in which he has asked us to do. And we can be better people. We can be better Christians. And I'm speaking from experience because it's not easy. It's hard for me. I told you how I grew up. I didn't grow up in a Christian household. You know, so, you know, when somebody crosses me, I get upset real quick. But I have learned. I mean, I don't know about you. Have you ever just spat it off and said something that you wished you hadn't said? You're like, oh, give me that back. You ever done that? I've done that once or twice, you know? So I try not to do that anymore. But it's not easy. It's hard. Because we all have lives, and we're all individuals. We're all different. You know, just like Dr. Pitts, he's got one coming, you know? He's always mean to me. But I'm going to get him back sooner or later. I love Dr. Pitts. I love messing with him. He has been such a blessing to me, as all these men, Dr. Bradley, Pastor Carter. He's been like a daddy to me. I mean, it's just, folks, we're in a good, good spot right here. We're in a good church. We got a lot of good, good people. And we need to remember that. I mean, we need to continue to help each other and continue to reach out into the world to pull in more people into a good place. We didn't get proper teaching. Amen?
Amen?
Well, I'm out of time. We'll have a word of prayer. You want choir practice? Okay, choir practice. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the day that you've given us. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the Lord Jesus. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that you help us, Father, to be better Christians, better servants for you, Lord, that more souls may be saved. We love you and we praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen.